Morning, everybody. I want to ask you ladies something. I was coming to church this morning and stopped at a red light. So I'm sitting there. This lady pulls up beside me and she has her kids in her back. Obviously, I'm assuming going to church. And as we were sitting at the red light, she puts all of her makeup on at the red light. Y'all get dressed on the way here? I mean, I'm sitting there and I look over at her and she's putting on lipstick. So, you know, I didn't want her to think I was, like, looking at her. So I looked away, whatever, and when I glanced back, she's putting on her eyebrow stuff. She put her whole face on while we were sitting there. Had a great worship night this past Tuesday night, didn't we? It was a great worship night. So go ahead and mark the 28th of this month down for our next one. So love to have you here for that. After that particular night, after that meeting, I went back and spoke to the Verge crowd, the young adult and college crowd. And how many of you are old enough to realize things have changed since you were in college? But it was a delight being with those guys. They meet every Tuesday at 8, so if you want to be a part of that. Then on Wednesday night, I met with a group of guys who are part of the leadership who runs our addiction groups. And they just have a lot going on. And so they're a great group of folks as well. And then last night, we had prayer from 6 to 7. Now, I say all that to say, we're believing for some great things to happen in 2017. Like last week we said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be where you always are. So, we know that. Part of a dynamic of figuring out how to do church is how you catch the flow of what God's doing. And part of the reason I'm telling you this is that there is a dynamic flow. There's kind of a river that flows through the church when God's doing stuff. It's sort of the life of what's going on. And so with what's happening, I would encourage you to be a part of it as much as you can. So come to the prayer time on just an hour on Saturday night. Come catch that. But don't miss a worship night. Have that down on your calendar as well. You know? And just be a part of the flow, because I believe what He's posturing us for is to do what He wants to happen in 2017. The words that are coming are words like breakthrough, words like victory, words of blessing, fulfillment. That God's got a lot of stuff for us, but He's got to get us ready for it. He kind of wants to put us in a position where we can receive it. And so that's what we're ministering for. Most of everything we've ministered since January, including right on through this Unlimited series, is to try to position us in a way that we can embrace what God's doing. Last week, if y'all remember, those of you who were here, I got the most feedback from the part of the sermon when we talked about Abraham. We read this scripture, by the way. Let me read it again, and beginning in verse 18 here. It says, "Since Abraham, surely," the Lord's talking, "surely will become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through or in Abraham. For I have known him," the Lord says, "in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him." In other words, last week we did is said, God went into the future, which is not hard for God. You know, God can be present in the past, present, and future. So he went into the future where all the things had happened that he said to Abraham would happen. And then from a future stance, he calls back to Abraham, who is in the present here now, and says, "Abraham, come on to your future." And Abraham said, "Well, I'm making some mistakes. Stuff is going on. I know. But I'm already at your completion, and I look at you and deal with you from the already have arrived position." Now, you need to know that's how God sees you. Already arrived, and He sees you there. And now He calls you into becoming what He knows you are, because He created you to be. What He's spoken over you. It's like all for all of us. And so what we did is if you remember, we took the camera out and took a picture of the future. And I said, you need to do this. Another way I thought about this week is all of us need to have a huge frame. And it needs to be in our future. And we need to put pictures and images of what God's saying, of what God speaks to us, so that in the future, it can be pulling us into all that God has for us. So, this past week I was listening to a podcast by Irwin McManus. And Erwin was talking about the 10th chapter of the book of John, and particularly about this passage in verse 10 where it says, and the thief comes, except to steal, kill, and to destroy. And then it says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I started thinking about the contrast between those two things, and that is, in the same context, Jesus says, I want to give you this, but I want you to know that there's an enemy, and he wants to take from you everything that he can possibly take. Give, take. I want to give life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And then I started thinking about that in context of this year. And all of a sudden, it made sense to me that part of what God is trying to do is get us in a position where he can give us what he wants to give us. And that is in that frame, you can put in that frame that what God wants for you is to give you life and life more abundantly. Agree? Amen. I mean, that's his word in the frame. There it goes. Then I thought, but what's also true is you have the evil one who wants to steal out of that frame your future and your destiny, and he wants to kill your dreams, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family, your marriage. And so all of a sudden, those two things, it just made sense. That we have to get ready for this whole thing. The abundant life, how does it work? How does God give you? When Jesus said that, what did he have in his head? And when the enemy wants to come, how does that work? How does it work? Those two things. Well, in context, you know, I don't think that most of us, when Jesus started this particular chapter, he started out by talking about how he was the shepherd. He's telling this story. He said, you know, I'm the good shepherd. And he said, I have a real relationship with my sheep. I know them by name. All my sheep, I know them by name. He said, I call my sheep and they respond. They respond, I call them, they respond, I lead them out, and we go to pasture, and they eat, and they're taken care of, and I bring them back at night and put them in a safe place again, and they can sleep. And then he says, and my sheep know my, what? Voice. And a stranger they'll not follow. My sheep know my voice, and my voice has everything to do with them receiving life and life more abundantly. The life is in my voice. Them hearing me. Them following me. And in them following me and listening to me, then life happens to them like I want it to happen, and it is an abundant life. And it is a life full because my words are life. It's not a coincidence that he opened up and he did this. This relationship, this knowing that they follow me, that Jesus will lead us and call us into our future. And that future is life and abundant life. I was in college. I went to college, I was in Bible college, and I was there studying the Bible and did not want to be a preacher. Didn't like preachers. Didn't want to be one. So I'm sitting in class, and some things started coming together for me. We've been studying about the gifts that every person has a gift. Been studying about some of the gifts or like off what we call office gifts, like apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, those gifts. And the analogy had come together in my head. And now I ask myself the question. I can still remember me sitting in the classroom and I can see myself sitting right where I was when for the first time this thought went through my brain. I wonder if there's a gift over your life. Now, what was behind that thought is I happen to think about Billy Graham as an example because in those days he was one of the big guys who did all this stuff, you know. And so, do y'all know Billy? I know you older ones do. Some of the other ones, look him up on Facebook someplace or Psychopedia. And Billy Graham, and so I always liked him, but he never particularly excited me. there was nothing really profound about what he said. He'd just get up and tell the truth. And then after he told the truth, because I think he had the gift of evangelism. I think he also had the gift that he was a prophet. I think he called nations to repent. So I think those gifts were operating over his life. And then he'd just say what he had to say. Then he'd step back, do like this. They'd sing "Just As I Am." Anybody remember this? And then they'd come by the thousands. You know, they'd walk, everybody would get saved. Made me want to walk up and touch the screen. And I'm watching the TV screen, you know, watching on TV. We were in Colombia when my oldest daughter, Megan, was saved in the Billy Graham Crusade. And I happened to think about him because there was nothing really overly exciting. It was like he just did something and stepped out of the way, and then what God did was incredible. So what was behind that, my thought was, I wonder if there's a gift over my life that you haven't got to be smarter. You hadn't got to be more talented than you are. You hadn't got to be different. That you can just be you. And in being you, a gift would operate without strain, without pushing to make it happen, and then step back, and then that gift would cause to happen what needs to happen. I remember it shot through my head. Then I said, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it. And guess how I responded? I thought about it for a while, and then I said, no. That can't be true. And you know what was behind my reasoning? That would be far too easy. Because I've been around a few Christians, and it ain't easy. You know, it's this God thing is hard. It could not be that easy that God wants you to be yourself. And whatever anointing and call is over your life will happen to the fullest expression of when you are real and open, and you don't have to pretend. I tucked it back in, and so I worked hard for a long season, trying to be good enough, trying to make it happen, not feeling like you're good. God, the shepherd, is trying his best to pull me into my future. I hear his voice. The revelation came, I pondered it, and then another voice came and said, that's far too easy. Reject this one, accept mine, and I did. Where does that craziness come from? Have you ever noticed that you will accept negative things faster than you will positive stuff? Why? Where did that break happen? Where did we get broken to the point that we do that kind of stuff? I don't think it started with us. As a matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the garden. Look, this is after Adam and Eve, and they fell. And then God came to meet with them. And look at verse 8. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the what? Cool of the day. He heard what? The sound. Not the voice. The sound. See, some of you have been hearing the sound of God. It's not real clear. You couldn't tell me exactly what he's saying, but you know he's up to something. You feel his urging. You feel his prompting. You feel something going on. You feel his presence. You feel, it's like he's trying to get at you, and it's not clear yet, but it is the sound of the Lord working in your life. You know it. You can't, you're on this mission, and you want to figure it out. And it will become clear, and it will become a clear voice. But right now, it's just the sound of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? They knew him so well, and they knew what his moving around sounded like. You know, you and I are wired that way, you know. You and I are wired after him. We're his offspring, according to Hebrews. And there's this connection we have with God that tunes us into his, and on his voice. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger they won't follow, except when we make choices like I did. And the choice to follow the other voice is ours. And Adam and Eve, it said, hid themselves from the presence of God in the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and Eve, and Adam, and I said, "Where are you?" Now, how many of you think God knew where he was? What's God doing here? Playing hide and seek? No. You know what he's doing? He's actually saying, you and I were in conversation, and you were listening to me, and we would have dialogue together, you know, and this thing, this wiring thing would happen. And now something's different. Something has changed. Something's different. Now, this is after the fall. I mean, all the whole universe fell. Everything happened. And then God comes with this question. Where are you? And the answer was, so I heard your voice, Lord, in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I, say it with me. I heard your voice. I heard your voice. After all that had happened, then God shows up and says to him in verse 11, Who? What voice have you listened to? The way this thing worked is it was always you and I. And you listened to my voice, with the exception of Eve. But now there has been another voice. You have now heard something else. Who told you that you were naked? Whose voice are you listening to now? Who is this? Who told you? What voice got in your head and birthed the shame that you carry in your life? Who have you listened to who told you the measure and the stature of who and what you would be? What voice got into you? Because whatever voice gets into you and you listen to will either give you life or either take life from you. And what just happened to you, Adam, who got in your head? Who got in and did you give your way to listen to what the future is going to be like, what you're going to be like, what your health is going to be like, what's going to happen to you? Who got in your head and told you all this stuff that has drained the life out of you? And we know who it was. We know exactly who it was. I was afraid, and I hid myself. Probably the reason why it was so hard for God to get the concept through to me that, Mike, there's a gift over your life, probably was because I felt like I had to hide myself. That just who I was not good enough. Anybody have thoughts in your head like that sometimes? There's something missing. You ought to be better. You ought to do better. Come on. Anybody get... Hey. Anybody have... Spirit must be moving up here. Anybody have crazy thoughts? Come on. Hey, talk to me now. Anybody here have thoughts and you know you can't go public with them? Because if you did, they would lock you up. Tell me the truth now. Come on. Crazy thoughts. Sure. We all do. And just let them go on through like airplanes. Go on through like a bird. Don't let them build a nest. Just keep on flying. It's a stupid, crazy thought. You know, flush it, don't let it go. But the fact is, they all are there. Some of you brought a lot of them here, didn't you? This morning, somebody walked in that door. And if we could have on the screen what you were thinking. Woo! Yeah. How much of yourself do you have to hide? How much of you, who have you listened to? There's a lady in the New Testament. Y'all remember the story about the lady in the New Testament when they caught her in adultery? Remember that story? They caught her in the act of adultery, which probably means she didn't have any clothes on. Not sure, but good chance. They brought her to Jesus. What, clothed, unclothed? I don't know. Doesn't say. But I think it would be safe to say at least she was ill-clothed. That not only had now they caught her in the act of adultery, so whatever shame was there to act. They caught her in the act. But then they brought her in front of all these people, probably halfway naked, if not total. So no, it's shame upon the act. And now she has a chance to hear another voice. Oh, can you imagine what was happening in her head on the way there? Can you imagine the voices in her head? And now she stands with the good shepherd who has her future ready to be framed. And the Bible says, this is where he goes to work now. This is when Jesus starts to work. This is when you see his strategy with people. You know, remember he said he bent down and he wrote something in the sand? Remember that? And everybody backing up? That's his strategy. To defend you. Not make excuses for you. He knows what's happened. You know how you know the voice of God and the voice of the thief? The voice of God is always leading you into your future. The voice of the thief is always leading you into your past. The voice of God always is about giving you hope of what he's called you to be and called you to do and what you can do. The enemy's voice is always about condemning you of what you're not and not measuring up. Anybody have those thoughts in your head? You don't ever do enough. It's never going to measure up. Hey, you know the source of those thoughts, I can tell you, it's the thief. Jesus backs everybody off. Then he takes this lady and he asks her. I just love how he does this. And you need to understand he wants to do that with people. He says, look around, where are your accusers now? That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd of the sheep. Picture of your future, you don't have any accusers. And I want you to hear the verdict from her creator, who then looks at her and says to her, the voice of God, the voice, the shepherd speaks to her and says, and neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I want to show you a picture of your future. Your future is of God looking at you and seeing you righteous and clean and holy. That's what I see. You go and you step into your future and you live this life now that I have for you, which is a life straight out of the bed, straight in public humiliation. But the life I've got for you is a life of no shame and no guilt. Now you walk into that life. That's your picture. Let me ask you, whose voice have you listened to? Because see, it's the life, abundant life, comes from God's voice. It's his voice that gives life. Let me show it to you in John. Look with me in John. In the beginning was the... In the beginning was the voice. And the voice was God, was with God. And the voice was what? God. The voice was in the beginning, and things that came into being through him, all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. In the voice was life. And life was the light of people. For the light shines in darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it or overshadow it or overtake it. The voice is life. And when God speaks his life, speaks his voice, out of that voice comes life. and it's life more abundantly. Out of that voice is instructions of where to come out and pasture. Out of that voice is a caretaking. Out of that voice comes this life, incredible life. Darkness cannot, never, ever can overtake light, except when the darkness comes and the light comes, and your choice of which voice you listen to does not put the light out. But by your choice, what you receive now is not the light. What voice have you listened to? Now, what we're going to do right now, because we're going to spend some time, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, please not leave. Part of what we're doing is structuring these services a little different, in that we're trying to get some things inside of what God wants to do and get them inside of you. And that is, now we're going to take the word and we're going to worship around it for a minute. Because here's what I want to happen to you. I want you to clarify the voices that are coming at you. And I want you to get real clear on the one inside of there that is God's. And that one, friends, is hopeful. That one pulls you into your future. But I want you to deal with and get this other stuff, lay it aside. And so we're going to spend a moment in worship, and then I'll come back up. But just kind of focus, if you will, and let the shepherd speak to you. Father, in Jesus' name, as we go in this moment of worship, as you lead us as your sheep into a pasture for the next few minutes to feed our soul, Would you bring clarity now to confused minds and hearts about your voice, your future for them, your attitude toward them, the love of the Father for them, the one who looks and says, you don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to be ashamed anymore. What I did on the cross is enough. Let me ask you a question. I really want you to be honest with me, okay? How many of you feel better now than you did when you got here? All right. Teaching moment, because I wanted to register with you. Why? Here's the reason why. It's because we are wired to hear God's voice and His presence. Just the sound of Him approaching, coming closer to you. You're wired to pick that up. And because you're wired to pick it up, as He comes now, even if you haven't heard anything that's straight to you, you have heard His voice. You've absorbed all the life and the energy that's in Him and around His people. You've absorbed it into you. And then what it's done is it filled you up and you feel different. Yes? You with me? And that's how it works. Now, have you ever been in a place and the opposite happened? Where you shared your hopes and dreams and somebody said, oh, that's never going to happen. And you were puffed down. This is about being puffed up in God. All right? Now, here's what I need you to do. Because, see, we're going this year, we're going to get what God has for us. Yes? Yes? All right, but here's what's working against you. Here's what's working against some of you. If some of you have been listening to the wrong voice. And when you're listening to the wrong voice, it has steps where it builds up until death and stealing and killing and destroying. First step is listening to the voice. The next step is when you agree with the voice inside. When you agree with the voice of the enemy, that agreement is exactly the opposite of faith and works against you, just like faith works for you. Now, that agreement that's inside of you needs to be broken. The next step to this whole death process is when you say it comes out of your mouth. Because now you, as the creatures of, it's made in God's image to rule on this planet, to have authority on this planet through your words. Now you have released your words that are death dealing. And now what's going to happen is what you say. And you've already said stuff that's going to mess up 2017. You know, and so what I'm going to do is let's straighten all that out so we can leave this place with a new account ready to go before God. Will you agree with me? All right, now I'm going to pray a prayer, but see, the whole thing about this is this. With my background is counseling, here's what I've always run into. is until somebody agrees to change their own stuff, you only can go so far. Because you open your head up and you still keep believing the same stuff and you keep saying the same stuff, then you're going to keep feeling the same stuff. And no matter how many people you got around you and how good they are, nobody can get in your head except you. And then who you let in there. And so that's why you've got to take authority over those thoughts and those things and those words. But I'm so glad that God has a way that we can do that. And now we can back up and destroy him. So whatever's come out of your mouth, whatever you said or whatever agreement you have, can we break it right now if it needs to be broken? Good. So I'm going to pray, but you've got to jump in there with me if it's your stuff, because you've got to agree and you've got to say, God, this is for me. And I'm going to do exactly what he said. I'm cursing those words. All right. So anyway, you got the point. So agree with me if you need to about your area. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we take authority over every word that's come out of our mouth that's in disagreement with you. We curse those words in the name of Jesus. They will not come to fruition. The divorce will not happen. There will not be the nervous breakdown. There will not be the destroying in health. The things that we've agreed with, we break agreements in the name of Jesus. That's not according to your word. Every agreement we break in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you agree with me? Every agreement. And what we declare right now is what you say in your word is going to be our future as a good shepherd. That is the truth we're aligning ourselves with. And we will follow you into our future. And our future will be full of abundant life, life-giving stuff, because we're following the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, you say amen. All right, let's give a big shout to the Lord. What do you say? All right, you'll take it out of here. Husbands and wives, don't fall back into it. Don't go back into whatever you're into in terms of your thoughts, in terms of your mouth, in terms of stuff. Don't undo what God's done. Do you agree with me? All right, let's see the picture of our future and let's walk into it and agree with him. What he says about you is really true. And what he says about you is about your future. What he says about you is no condemnation. What he says about you is really good. He woke up this morning just liking you a whole lot. Do you know that? He just likes you, all right? Turn to one person and say, you know, God likes me. Just say one person. Go ahead. Lord bless you and keep you because his face is shining upon you. I bless you as you go, guys. Have a wonderful week. Amen.